Support for this News from Lake Wobegon podcast comes from the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort, the bed that lets you adjust the mattress firmness to your preference, your sleep number. And by Bisquick Heart Smart Pancake and Baking Mix. With 0 grams trans fat and no cholesterol, Bisquick Heart Smart Pancakes are a delicious way to be good to your heart. Bisquick, real pancakes, real good. Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been cold and blustery here this last week. It's turned cold. Fall came in last night, and the wind picked up. It's been blowing hard. Old Glory stretched out, almost taut on the school flagpole, and things blowing all over. There were people who were thrown off course by this wind, people who were headed for the Chatterbox Cafe, and the wind blew them into the sidetrack tap, and they went in there. Though they hadn't meant to go in there at all. There was a girl coming home from school, and the wind took her portfolio, and papers blew up into the air and all over town. It was her portfolio of poetry. Nobody knew she wrote poems, but now people saw them, picked them up here and there, everywhere. They were strange poems. They were poems about rocks speaking and geese speaking and birds flying against the wind and standing still in the air and fire in the windows of houses, and yet they were not burned. It was quite interesting to people. This girl before had always been known as her mother's daughter, and now she was an individual, a strange individual in our midst. They turned the heat on in the Lutheran church this last week, finally put it on, because last week was Rally Sunday. It's the Sunday when we get back to church. If you've been away during the summer, here's your invitation to come back. They go on to the regular schedule of services, and people get back into choir, and people volunteer for Sunday school and to coach and so forth and to be ushers and the like. It's a big week in the Lutheran church. They also turned the heat up because there were a lot of anniversary parties celebrated in the church basement, a couple of 40s, there was a 50, there was a 60th anniversary as well, and those people need a little bit of heat. Keep them moving, you know, they become torpid like turtles otherwise. It's quite a heroic accomplishment being married for 60 years. It's like climbing Mount Everest in a way. Except that when you're done with it, you're not necessarily in a big party mood. You know, you're not ready to stay out all night and get plastered. You know, might just be really thoughtful and go to bed early. Arlene and Clarence celebrated their 50th anniversary, and she gave a speech about how they were grateful for all of these years of good health and love and their family and so forth. And then Clarence got up and he told a whole bunch of dirty jokes. Embarrassed her. She didn't want to talk to him for the rest of the evening. She put on her raincoat early, Arlene did, and she stalked out. He had to run to catch up with her. We could hear her remonstrating with him on the way home, her voice sort of quietly shouting at him. But the easy thing about marriage after many years is that it does become less volatile, more steady as you take on ballast with the years. You don't dash for the lifeboats as quickly as you would when you're first married. A storm comes up, and storms do come up, and the ship sort of shudders and rolls a little bit, and then it goes back to whatever it had been. They had some cider at that 50th anniversary party, made from these Honeycrisp apples. It was like Pinot Grigio. So beautiful, just amazing. You didn't even get drunk, and you felt drunk. A lot of people danced who hadn't danced in a long time. There was a longtime member of the Lutheran Church who came to Rally Day Sunday and then got up about midway through the service and went and stood in the vestibule, and then he disappeared, which, of course, does not go unnoticed in a small town. People knew that he had left church and gone off to the woods, and he'd been out there for a few hours. Pastor Inquist ran into him in the sidetracked tap. He was looking for the lost sheep, and he found him down there in the bar. Pastor has been braver about going into the sidetracked tap since Jesus did, you know, hung out with publicans and sinners, so. He went in there. There was Clint Bunsen, who was having a scotch and soda to steady his nerves. He'd been taking his youngest daughter out in the car. She's 15. She couldn't take driver's ed because she wanted to take Spanish. So he was her driver's ed, and he put her behind the wheel for her debut. He sat in the right-hand passenger seat, and he just sort of stomped on an imaginary brake for a while. Contemplated his death there. She skidded on a patch of marshmallow that was left over on Main Street from Crazy Days. You should never throw marshmallows from a float in a parade. Just never do that. They land on the pavement and then they're mushed down. They're hard to clean up. She skidded on marshmallows, almost took out a light pole. He went down to the sidetrack tap, and there was the lost sheep. Sitting next to him, Pastor Inkvis sat down next to the lost sheep. He asked him how he was. The lost sheep said, I got up and left church last Sunday. Yeah, I noticed that. I got up because of the gospel text. It was from Mark. It's been a long time since I'd heard that text. And it's the one where Jesus announces to his disciples that he is the Messiah. And they argue with him. They're not ready for that. They had been ready to think of him as a good man and a philosopher and maybe a healer. But once you claim that you're God, then either you are or you're a dangerous psychotic. And then he told them that if they wanted to be Christians, they had to give up everything they had and follow him. Otherwise, they wouldn't be Christians. Well, I heard that. And I knew that I wasn't going to give up everything that I have. And I'm just tired of being a hypocrite. So I don't believe anymore. And I can't be there. I just don't want to be saying things that I don't believe. I've done it for too long, and I'm done with it. Well, Pastor Inkvis said, you don't have to say anything. If you don't want to, you could be quiet during the Nicene Creed. It's okay. You can come or not come, but just know that we would always be happy to see you. We would always be happy to see you, no matter what the state of your faith is. Well, the lost sheep says, you know, I started going to church all because of that homecoming dance. Well, maybe you wouldn't remember that. That was before you came to town. That was back in 1972. I was 17 years old, and, you know, I was all mixed up. And there was this wonderful girl with beautiful brown eyes, and she was the only girl who really noticed me or ever smiled at me in the halls. I guess I didn't smile at other people, but she smiled at me. And every so often, she'd come up to me, and she'd say, boy, I really like the way you smell. What is that? And I said, soap. So I was kind of planning to ask her to the homecoming dance, or I just kind of thought it would happen, you know. But it didn't just happen. And then I discovered that my friend Mike had asked her to the homecoming dance. And I just kind of went to pieces. I got in my dad's car, and I drove all the way to Minneapolis, and I drove around Minneapolis. And I just got more and more desperate. I felt that she was the only girl who would ever, ever love me for the rest of my life. I drove back home. I drove over to Mike's house. He was out in his dad's backyard. He had an axe. He was splitting wood. I walked up to him and I grabbed the axe and I threw him down on the ground and I just started to beat on him and I was yelling at him. He said, what's wrong? I didn't know myself, but I was pounding on him and I gouged a hole in the side of his cheek and he was all crouched there bleeding in the grass and I reached for the axe and I could have put the axe right into his skull. And it just scared me to death to think that you could do one thing in an impulse that would change your life forever. I put the axe down and I ran away, but I wasn't over it. I didn't go to the homecoming dance. I just sat in my room thinking angry thoughts. I got a big cooking pot and I filled it with vegetable soup and I let it sit for a week. And it got rancid and I put rotten eggs in it. And I put insects in it. And I put roadkill in it. And it was awful. I went down to the Sons of Canute Temple and I went up to the balcony up over the room where all of the dancers from the homecoming dance would come for the post-dance supper, and the long table and the punch bowl with the beautiful ice sculpture of the mermaid and all of these beautiful sandwiches there on the table. And I sat up there in the balcony and I hated them. I just hated every single one of them for all they were worth. I crouched up there and they all came in and they were all so happy and they were dancing and they were laughing, and there was music. And I tell you, if it were today, I might have taken a shotgun and killed eight of them. But I just waited until about 2 a.m, and I pulled the fuse box, a circuit breaker, and the lights went out. And there was a lot of commotion down below. And I started to moan as loudly as I could, and they were all quiet. And I was just moaning and wailing as loud as I could. I said, oh, I've never felt this bad. I've never felt this bad. I said, I think I'm going to throw up. And then I threw the whole pot, emptied it out onto them. People scattered, screaming, racing to the sides. I was out the window. I was down. I shinnied down a pipe. I made it home. I took a bath. I was lying in bed by the time Gary and Leroy came to ask me some questions, so nobody suspected me. I had to go deer hunting all by myself that year. None of my buddies would go with me because I was so weird, and Mike was one of my hunting buddies, so I went all by myself. I went out and I made my own deer stand, but instead of being up in a tree, I made it down in a crevice, in a cavern, down between two rocks. Now this was the summer after the pigs had gotten loose in that farmer's barnyard. He was trying to run them up a ramp into a truck, and he was beating on them with an electric prod, trying to get them to go up, and these pigs were just high on steroids, and they turned on him. And they attacked him, and they drove him into an electric fence, and they trotted over him with their little sharp hooves, and they went off into the woods, and they've been there ever since. The wild swine out there, they have a grudge against people. They've been lean and mean pigs out there hiding in the woods. That was when I came across the wild pig, was that fall I went deer hunting. I had this deer stand in this cavern, and I was there, and I could stand there up to my shoulders and pile dry leaves around me, and I had a football helmet with a periscope attached to the side so I could watch where the deer would be coming down the trail, and I had my rifle there all set, and I had my deer bait out. It was a Tupperware dish, and it had raspberry jello with mandarin oranges, and it had Miracle Whip on it, a proven deer bait. I must have dozed off there because suddenly I woke up all of a sudden, and there was a deer who was eating the jello about 30 yards away, and something was underneath me and had hold of my right foot. I had combat boots on, had hold and was chewing on my foot. It was an enormous pig down deep in the earth. I had gotten into its hole. He was biting on me. I was out of that like a bat out of a barn. I was out of that screaming at the top of my voice, and the gun went off, and that deer staggered. I'd shot him just behind the ears. He had Miracle Whip on his lips. He looked at me with his big brown eyes. I took off running alongside that deer. We ran across the meadow and stopped after about 100 yards. We got there in about 3.5 seconds. I stood there looking at him, and the deer spoke to me. His lips moved, and he made words. Well, what did he say? Said Pastor Enquist. Well, I've never told anybody this because it's just so crazy. It's just so ridiculous. And yet when an animal talks to you, it makes a big impression on you. And you think, maybe there are other things in the world that I don't know are true that are true. And so it would behoove me to go to church to hear about some of these things. Well, what did the deer say? Well, he didn't say much. I mean, he just a little bit. And I suppose psychologists would have an explanation for it, too. I mean, I had just run 100 yards in about 3 seconds, and I was breathing hard, and my heart was pounding, so I was gasping. And so who knows? But I looked at him, and his lips moved, and he said this, and then he died. He said, Jesus wept. Just Jesus wept. Yeah, Jesus wept. I've been thinking about it for 35 years, and I still don't understand what he meant by it. I just don't understand why that message was given to me. And now I think I just have to face the fact that I'm not one of you, and I'm sorry, but I just can't be. I don't have any more years left in which to try to figure this out. They sat there, drinking beer for a while. Music was playing on the jukebox. On a beautiful fall night, a fall night where you smell cinnamon in the air, and you can smell this beautiful cider made from Honeycrisp apples. In a little town in Minnesota where the sumac is turning red, and where poems come down out of the skies, all sorts of miraculous things happen. An old man and an old woman go home together. Somehow he still, after 50 years, has been able to embarrass her. What an achievement. We'll never understand it. We'll never get to the end of it. But life is good. Life is good. Don't ever throw marshmallows from a float. It's just not a good idea. Have mercy. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average. The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is brought to you by Bisquick Heart Smart Pancake and Baking Mix. With 0 grams trans fat and no cholesterol, Bisquick Heart Smart Pancakes are a delicious way to be good to your heart. Bisquick, real pancakes, real good.